Pastor Dave Rolfe encouraging us to know our limitations and be honest with ourselves.
You may have had a calling on your life when you were a kid to be the next great basketball star. And man, you worked so hard at it, every waking hour, every opportunity. Chances are, if you're 40 and the NBA hasn't called yet, I don't want to shatter your dreams, but maybe it's time to think about doing something else for a living. Everything that you try and you find out it's not your thing, well, that gives you another piece of information that will narrow down the scope of what your thing really is and what you really are supposed to do.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
You may feel as though you're just not making an impact, or that you have really nothing to offer. Or maybe as you look around, you're struck with the realization that life is just too short. Encouragement from the Balanced Word is right around the corner, so please do join us. Pastor Dave Rolfe will help us move from despair to hope as we open up Psalm 39. It's here that King David is at a low point in his life. And after reflecting for a moment about why he's here, God led him to a place of hope. Here's Pastor Dave with today's edition of The Balanced Word.
Life doesn't begin somewhere down the road. It's not going to just happen. It starts now. And as David was very well aware, it's a handbreadth, it's a vapor. Our life is so short, we can't afford to not realize that we're not just practicing for something later. Right now, we are living our life. Today is where it starts. What was that old poster that said, this is the first day of the rest of your life? Corny, but true. Profound, really. In that what we do now, how we measure our life now, if it's connected with our end, it'll be successful. It'll be blessed. But if we waste, if what we decide to do today has no connection to who we are ultimately supposed to become, then we're just one day closer to failure, to frustration, to coming short of that which God wants to do in our lives. And so, as David said, let me see the end, but also, as I have that kind of vision, that telescopic vision, also give me this microscopic vision where I can look at today and say, how do I dole out what I can do today to cause it to fit for the end, for eternity, for something that goes beyond who I am? And that's another question. The one question, what's my end? We should be asking in an ongoing dialogue with the Lord constantly. But what's the measure of today? Those are those decisions that we make. Now again, it's not to say that don't waste a second. For instance, if you're going to have an end that comes when it's supposed to, you need to take time to rest, you need to take time to eat, you need to take time to exercise, you need to take time to just sit and relax and unwind and all of those things. It's not a how much can I cram. In fact, the idea of measuring your days is doling it out. It's planning them in such a way that you spread it out. It's not that you're just seeing how much you can cram into a short life. It's saying, boy, in light of the shortness of my life and the length of eternity, I need to consider what I can do right now that's going to make a difference. The reason that we are so busy in our lives, the reason that we run ourselves so ragged, is probably at least a two-pronged problem. And the first one is we don't even know what our end is. We don't even know what we're called to do. So we just do a little of everything. And as a result, our days get chewed up with things that don't fit with the end. But the second problem is we aren't even considering whether what we are committing to has anything at all to do with what we are ultimately called to do. And so it's this
connection between our end, who we are created to be, and our decisions, our schedule, our time. As those fit together, we can stay on track. But you can't do this yourself. It's not as simple as just buying a Palm Pilot or, you know, going down to the Franklin store and getting a book that's going to organize you. That doesn't work. But it's ultimately accepting the reality and asking God to help us to have the kind of perspective that things that don't fit in the painting that God is creating just are pushed out of the way. And that he even causes us to lose interest in things that are distractions. And instead, we, on a daily basis, as well as on a global, lifelong basis, we commit ourselves to investing our time, our days, doling them out in support of and in conjunction with the calling that God has on our lives. And so he says, Lord, make me know my end, and what's the measure of my days? And then he says, that I may know how frail I am. The third point that he brings up and that he prays about, God, help me to know how frail I am. Another way of putting this would be, I need to know my limitations. I need to know not just what I can do, but I need to accept what I can't do. Another thing that we chew up time on is when we're trying to do something, we're striving to make it happen, we're trying to force it. Because we really believe that we're supposed to do it. We really believe that we need to do it. Chewing up valuable resources and time and energy, doing things that ultimately don't work. Now, there are things to be learned from failure, no doubt about it. But one of the first things we ought to learn from failure is, I need to listen to God. I need to be praying for him to measure my days out so that I don't invest my life in something that I'm not really called to do. So that I don't spend all of my time trying to accomplish something that isn't going to happen. I need to realize, God, how frail I am. I need to know and accept the fact that there are some things I can't do. Now, you may have had a calling on your life when you were a kid to be the next great basketball star. And man, you worked so hard at it, every waking hour, every opportunity. Chances are, if you're 40 and the NBA hasn't called yet, I don't want to shatter your dreams, but maybe it's time to think about doing something else for a living. Hasn't happened. And yet, so many times we get so locked into what our vision is, and we've doled out all of our time, we've measured our days in order to try to accomplish something, and we just don't get it. It's not happening. I can't do this. And that's okay. Because everything that you try and you find out it's not your thing, well, that gives you another piece of information that will narrow down the scope of what your thing really is and what you really are supposed to do. Oh, how we need to know our limitations. How we need to be honest with ourselves. How we need to ask God, as David did here, let me know how fragile I am, how frail I am. See, if I understand how frail I am also, and I don't get as bugged at other people when they hurt my feelings. When someone says something and it crushes me, to me, I think, that was a horrible thing that they said. That was the most cruel thing imaginable that they said to me. No, it wasn't. You're just frail. And that's the last thing we want to be told. You know what? I think you're just being too sensitive. Oh, I don't want to hear that. But how important it is for me to understand that I am. Now, I hate to even bring this up. I may not bring it up second service when Ann is here. But if a woman isn't feeling good and is having a rough time, the last thing they want to be told is, I think you're just, in one way or another, you know, I think you're just being overly sensitive. I wonder if it's in your head. I wonder, is it that time? Or is it, and it's like, no, it doesn't matter if it is. That's not it. It's you. It's boom, boom, boom. And it's like, you know, most of the time, when we hurt, it isn't because of someone else. Most of the time when we hurt, it's because we're frail. And that should be okay. But if women have an issue with this, men have an even greater issue with it. Because we do not want to be known as frail. To us, frail sounds like a limp wrist. And it's like, hey, anyway, I am all man. And all man means that I'm on top of the world, I'm strong. And we as men can be so susceptible to being in denial about our frailty. And instead of admitting that we hurt, or admitting that we're confused or frustrated, or saying, hey, I just don't know. Instead, we fake it like nothing's wrong. We go into denial. We just push and plod and move our way forward, and we pretend. I've talked about it a lot. If a man is driving and he's lost, he's not lost. He's going somewhere. Because I don't want to, even to some 15-year-old kid in a gas station, I don't want to admit I don't know where I'm going. And so in our lives, we find ourselves trapped in a mentality that thinks that we have to hang on to our own strength. How important it is that God would show us how frail we are. Because then not only will we not try to do more than is realistic, but ultimately, if I realize I'm frail, I realize I need God. I realize that He is the key. I'm not the key. I understand that it's okay to depend in Him. Depend in Him? To depend on Him, to trust in Him. I'm frail. And the sooner I realize that, the better off I'm going to be in ultimately moving in the direction one day at a time toward what God has called me to. If my calling is dependent on my strength, it's not going to happen. If my days are depending on my strength, I'm gonna fail. And so I need to constantly, and the same thing, I can tell you this, but honestly in my own head I'm thinking of, yep, all the times in the past when I was frail, but inside I'm going, but it's not happening now. That's why we need to constantly go to God and go, God, show me where I'm weak right now. Show me where I can't cut it right now. Show me where I'm not measuring up. Now, that's a very risky proposition because ultimately, we all want to believe that we're okay, that we're enough, that we can handle this. It gets really scary when life starts to get out of control, where God calls you to do something that you know you can't do, that you're just so afraid that one day somebody's going to figure out that they got the wrong guy, they got the wrong girl, and that you don't qualify and that you can't measure up. But it's best for us to take ourselves to that place and to say, God, I don't want to be blind to my weaknesses. It's one of the reasons why I think it's such a tragedy when we get upset with someone who argues with us or who puts us down or insults us. It's, you know, that's something that just brings out the worst in us. The truth is our critics, even if they don't mean well, they're our best friends because they will show us areas of our life that we need to see that we can't. They bring out the worst in us, but they bring out the weakness in us, and that's something that needs to happen. I'll never forget the day when I heard someone thinking I didn't hear say how fat I was, and it just crushed me. It was a kid, too. The kids are honest. But it propelled me to go on a diet. In every area of our lives, weakness, like Paul said, he learned, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because God told me that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So take your best shot. And if it hurts me, if it weakens me, if it tears me down, I go, oh God, I need You. Show me how frail I am. Go ahead. Show me where I'm vulnerable. Show me what I get upset about and why it's so upsetting to me. God, show me my frailties. Now, this is a kind of a crummy place to go. And as David is praying this, it's then that he goes into saying, life is just useless and I'm a shadow and I'm a vapor and I'm a... But somehow, out of this despair, he goes to the place where we need to go. From despair, ultimately, to hope. Because he moves into verse 7 and he says, okay, now, Lord, what am I waiting for? My hope is in you. In all of the reflecting on what am I here for, it's him. In all of the musings over what should I do today in light of what I'm here for, he's in it. And as I find myself weak, I find out how strong he is. And so, what does it all come down to? What's life all about? Where do I go from despair? I go to hope because of the God I trust in, because of the one I am allowed to place myself in his hands in such a way that now there is a future and a hope. It's going to be better. David, at this point of his life, thought it was over. He figured that he would always be known as just the guy that killed the giant, that wrote songs, and that died in the wilderness. He didn't know his best days were yet ahead. His best days were coming as he would bring Israel together as a nation, take them to their most powerful state, raise the funding to build a temple for the Lord. Hey, good times were ahead, but at this point, he was just going, I don't know, but I'm going to hope in you. I'm going to believe that because of who you are, you have plans for me. And if I can't see my end, I don't understand my calling, if my days are falling apart, if my frailty becomes the dominant characteristic of my life, I'll hope in you. I'll believe that you are going to come through. And he did. And even at the end of David's life, it wasn't over by far. David's best days, of course, as he was with the Lord, that was great. But even in terms of the earth, the greatest accomplishment that came forth from David was his offspring, the Messiah. The story wasn't finished even when his days on earth were through. And who would have thought? David the shepherd boy, David the fugitive, David the guy who had a hard time handling his flesh all the time, that he would be the one that at the end of the Bible, at the end of it all, show me my end. Hey, the last chapter in Revelation, as Jesus says his last words before he says, I'm coming back. Jesus' last words were bragging about the fact that he's the root and offspring of David. Whew. Amazing. Could David have ever even dreamed of having such prominence? No. But his hope was in the fact that there was a God who can do much more than we could ever ask or think. And you serve the same God. And though for you life may be kind of feeling like you're not making an impact, and you're banging against a wall, and it looks like life is just too short, and you don't have anything to offer, there's a hope. A hope that's placed in a God who says, I love making something out of nothing. I love taking your weakness and turning it into my strength. I'll do it for you. And he has a future and a hope for you. And his plans for you, you couldn't exaggerate how great they're going to be. I was reading this week Howard Hendricks, and it really, no relation to Jimi Hendricks. Howard Hendricks, a professor at Dallas Seminary, but Howard Hendricks was talking about life and its brevity and things like that. But he said, as soon as you get to the point where your memories are more exciting than your dreams, you're dying. Think about that. When your memories are more exciting than your dreams, you're dying. Dylan said, he not busy being born is busy dying. It's our choice. Do you believe that the best is ahead? Do you believe that the greater days for you and your family and your life and our church and our country and this world, do you believe that the better days are ahead? Then you're hoping in God, a God who is able to do that. And it's just true. God doesn't look at you and say, well, you did some great stuff back in the day, but now I'm just kind of waiting until there's an open hospital bed so you can go there and die in the hospital. I need to just open up some more cemeteries, and so I'm going to keep you around until we get a spot in the ground for you. God has a plan for you, and he hasn't scratched the surface of what he wants to do in your life, and that's the truth. If our hope is in God, then we have to believe better days are coming. If we don't believe that, and we think about our end, we just think, well, this is the end. If we don't believe in hoping in God, then certainly our days are nothing. Nothing to work for, nothing to accomplish. If we don't have a hope in God, our frailty will just depress us to no end. It will discourage us. But let's, as David came to the Lord with this honest prayer, coming out of a heart of desperation and despair, leading to hope. Hope in God. We can do the same. To do anything less is to just allow your life to be a vapor, is just to blend into the background, to go ahead and settle for being a shadow. But you don't have to do that. Don't believe Satan's lies. Don't believe it when he tells you that you're just not that significant. Yeah, you are. You're frail. But you have huge significance because you have a huge God.
Pastor Dave Roth on how to move from a hopeless end to an endless hope. He'll return to the balanced word in just a bit, so keep it right here. We're developing our study in the Psalms, and today's message is called From Despair to Hope. Hear it again at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too. ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Here now to wrap things up for today with prayer, our teacher once again, Pastor Dave Rolfe.
Lord, we just pray together that you would help us to know our end. Where are we going? What have you called us to? What is your design that you have in mind for each of us? Lord, help today to look like we understand that as we measure our day. And all along, reminding us of our frailty, but holding out hope for the future because of who you are. Help us to have this perspective and to live lives that matter. Lives that are well thought out by you first, and then by us as well. And we thank you for this gift of life. Yeah, it's life on this earth is short. Yes, we struggle with personal insignificance issues. But God, you have a future for us that's eternal. And you also have miracles that you want to do in this life. Help us to report for duty, to be available, and to have the optimism that comes from people who know the God who holds the future. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Another hope-filled broadcast is ahead of us next time, so do join us for more of The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe as our study of the Psalms continues. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands. And yeah.